Let's head to Austin. State Senator Charles Schwertner joins us. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, sir.
This is the first time we've gotten a chance to talk to you since the Senate voted last week to freeze tuition rates at public universities for 2 years and also put together some performance benchmarks for them. The chancellor called it a punitive move against Texas A&M and other schools. Give us your thoughts on why you voted for this.
Well, I think it's important to have performance metrics at our state institutions of higher education. And I think the citizens of Texas want to make sure that they're doing their job regarding meeting 6-year graduation rates, 4-year graduation rates, and are being held to account. So I wouldn't call it punitive. I'd call it more accountable.
Senator Watson, I think, introduced a couple of bills having to do with campus rape yesterday that were approved by the Senate.
Right.
Give us a scope of those bills.
Well, those are important bills, and ones I voted for in committee when they came through State Affairs and, of course, on the floor yesterday. You know, this culture of silence regarding campus sexual assault and rape, and, you know, this is just far too common, and we've seen far too many high-profile cases, Baylor University, I guess, being the highest profile of late. And it's important that we have a mechanism in place that gets rid of that culture of silence and allows for reporting, anonymous reporting, and some mandatory reporting to the Title IX coordinator of each campus. And I do want to recognize A&M that they were on the forefront of this, and with their stand up against sexual assault endeavor, and I think that's shows a lot of foresight on the part of President Young.
Just your observation as a state senator, as a parent, should the process be through the legal system or should it be through Title IX or on campus, as far as you're concerned? Your opinion.
Well, I think there should be reporting on campus, and this culture of silence should not be tolerated. People should be felt comfortable and encouraged to report concerns about sexual assault and allegations of sexual assault so they can be properly investigated.
The Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick has been a leading proponent of school vouchers, and he wanted the House to express their opinion, and in the budget vote last week they did. They resoundingly said they are not interested in that. Do you believe that vouchers are dead in this session?
Well, certainly the House has spoken regarding that issue in their budget debate. It wasn't actually a bill that was debated on the floor. It's an amendment, and anybody that's watched the House budgetary process can certainly see how, in depth of discussion regarding an issue, it doesn't go through the full process.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether or not, an independent bill would have the same type of reaction if it was fully debated in committee and then debated on the floor might be of some discussion. But certainly they spoke in their amendment and approval of their amendment. I'm a little bit disappointed. I think the compromise that was passed off the Senate floor addressed the concerns of rural school districts, but at the same time addressed the concerns of parents that have children that are in failing schools or parents of children with disabilities when that school district that they're attending that can't meet the requirements or concerns or needs of that disabled child. I thought it was a well-thought-out bill that passed the Senate, and I wish it would get a fair hearing through the proper committee structure in the House.
State Senator Charles Schwertner joining us from Austin this morning. Tomorrow you have a hearing. You're chairman of Health and Human Services. Anything of import there that we need to know about?
Well, again, my highest concern and priority is reforming our DFPS and CPS system and making sure that we properly investigate allegations of neglect and abuse and reform our foster care system to make sure that we can take care of those children that are under the care and supervision of the state. And we have a number of bills and continue to debate the proper methods and reforms and funding that are necessary to accomplish that goal.
Senate, of course, already passed your budget. The House passed theirs on Friday, so now it'll go to conference committee.
That's
right. Do we know when the conference committee will be named?
I think it'll be named next week,
mm-hmm.
Early next week, probably Monday or Tuesday.
Probably how many members will be on that?
There'll be 5 Senate members and 5 House members.
Okay.
And each member has a certain responsibility regarding one aspect of the budget, other than the chair, who has the total responsibility.
So now, if you are on this body, and you have been before, so it would make sense since you oversee the largest portion of that budget, does a senator make a presentation to the entire committee, or what are the actual mechanics as you try to get your hands around this thing?
Well, each article, the Article 2 subcommittee chair, which I was last time, and we'll see if Governor Patrick reappoints me this time around, but they sit across from the Article 2 House member subcommittee chair, and you know there's 25 or 30 other people in the room, and we go item by item of disagreement between the House budget and the Senate budget and hammer out the differences. Mm-hmm. And then we report it to the chairs, Chair Zerwas and Chair Nelson, and then to the full committee at a later time. But you have a lot of authority and ability to negotiate your specific article within the conference committee. So a lot of responsibility is put on you as a conference conferee. But another, also being a conferee is also very important because you also have increased input regarding the other articles as well. And of course, one article in particular is Article 3, Higher Education and Public Education. I want to make sure that A&M has a fair representation and distribution of any funds and differences between the House budget and the Senate budget.
Well, it'll be interesting as the I don't know if you would guess how long that process is going to take. Just your ballpark, because you've been there before.
It takes about 2 weeks.
Okay, and if you're ahead of schedule, that'll be a good thing, huh?
That's right.
It probably won't. All right. Anything else of import that'll be going on the floor of the Senate that we need to know about today?
Well, I passed a couple of eminent domain bills, strengthening landowner rights and private property rights yesterday, and there's some bills regarding high speed rail that passed out of committee that will be going to the floor in the near future that I'm obviously keenly interested in, and I think many constituents in Senate District 5 are supportive of. So those are big issues for the district. Higher education continues to be a big topic of concern and discussion, particularly the funding of higher education. And again, I want to make sure that Texas A&M, this is always a work in progress, and there are differences between the House budget and the Senate budget regarding funding. We'll see if we can improve on the higher education and the equity between the distribution of how it's funded as the process moves forward.
State Senator Charles Schwertner joins us on Tuesdays. The entire interview will be archived on our website at WTAW.com. We thank you for the time this morning, Senator.
You bet. You have a great day.
All right, you too. Thanks.